I want you to think of what you got for Christmas this last year. I know that's weird, but can you remember what you got? You can't remember, can you? Okay, can you remember what you want for Christmas this year? I mean, you haven't thought about it? Okay. Can you remember what you got for your birthday this year? Of course, a lot of you haven't had a birthday this year, have you? Okay, let's do this. Let's everybody stand up and find somebody and tell them you're the best thing going here this morning. Come on. Come on, get up. Get up on your feet, find a couple people and say you're the best thing going this morning. Amen. Wow. Hi, baby. He's so cute. He was staring at me.
You're the best thing going.
Amen. That's good. Oh, that was pretty good. All right, now I've got you thinking about Christmas already, right? Hallelujah. I want to invite all the men to be a part of that Fight Club deal. Starting on the first Wednesday, Thursday of July. And Tina's talking about it. I don't know if we want to or not. You want to announce it? She said, if you're going to do a men's night only, I'm going to do a girls' night only. So, looks like... See, I didn't get that when I announced it for the guys. They're like, yeah, what up, man? What up? I tell you, oh boy, come on, guys. All right. So, we'll have to figure out who's going to get the sanctuary. Which will be her. We'll probably be in a back room somewhere. But we're going to split it up. There will be no services in the midweek in the month of July. So just guys hanging out, and the girls will be hanging out as well. If you have a Bible, open it up. If not, look at the screen. Psalm 27:11 says this, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." How many would like a smooth path? How many have ever been on a rocky road, man? You know what I'm talking about? And I'm not talking about the ice cream. I'm talking about challenges and trouble. But let me tell you something. God will never permit any person, place, or thing to prevent you from achieving your destiny. No place, no person, no thing will ever prevent you from accomplishing and achieving your destiny. You know why? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know. I like that. God said, I know. He said, what do you know? He said, well, I know everything, but I know the plans I have for you. It's for a hope. It's for your future. It's for your blessing. It's for your power. It's for your prosperity. You know, Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man. You know what the rest of it says? The end is the way of death or destruction. So when we're going through life, we often feel like this is the right way. And then when we hit the wall, we think, God, where were you? Well, maybe we just took a detour and we were going the wrong way ourselves. Maybe it's time to retrace our steps or maybe look at life from a different perspective. I believe that the winds of change are on the earth. I believe that the breath of God is blowing. I believe that the breath of God is here right now for your life and my life. And He's drawing us into a closer relationship with Him. I was studying historically some of the revivals of our nation and the first great awakening back in 1730. Jonathan Edwards, one of the characteristics of that revival was a more intimate time with heaven. Isn't that interesting? These are the observers that are writing about those times of great outpouring when many people were being saved. They said along with other characteristics, the major characteristic was people were developing an intimacy with heaven. Natalie, I'm so glad that you spoke that. That echoes, I believe, the heart of God for His people. And I think that that's where we're going with churches. We're beginning to see the desire and the hunger to become intimate with God again. Someone shared this illustration with me not long ago. They said they were on a day of an amusement park rides, and their family got into this ride that they had waited hours to get into. And you walk into this huge room and suddenly the doors close behind you. And they were the first to enter in the room and they thought, this is great. So they got up to the doors that they thought was going to be the entrance to the ride. And suddenly everybody else got in behind them, and a lot of teenagers, you know how they'll manipulate and move and kind of get in front of you. And they said, before you knew it, we kept moving back and moving back. And by the end of the time of all the people entering that room, we were in the back of the room. We thought, this is ridiculous. We were at the front of the room. When suddenly the doors opened up, and the girl announced a welcome to this particular ride. We're excited you're here. Enjoy your day at such and such a park. Now, if you'll all turn around, you can enter the ride from the doors in which you came in. So sometimes God will pull a fast one for you. And I want you to begin thinking with me that God's moving behind the scenes. He's going to pull a fast one for you. And just when circumstances look like it's going the wrong direction, you've got to change the way you think. I like what the scripture says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Twice it says in Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2, that to set your mind upon things above, where Christ sits. Then in the next verse it says, set your minds on things of heaven, or not on this earth. So the word set is real important there. It means to position your thinking in heavenly realms. So we've got to get our mind off of circumstances, get our mind off of the things that are happening around us, and say, God, I need to get a perspective that's a little bit higher than where I'm at right now. You may be here this morning thinking, you know what? I don't deserve God's blessing. I have been so unfaithful, or I'm undeserving of the promises of God because I haven't always done what I'm supposed to do, and I don't believe that I'm expecting anything that God can do right now. But I still believe whether you're unexpecting, or maybe you feel you're undeserving, maybe you feel like you've been unfaithful, this is a new day. And all it takes is for one person right now at this moment to cry out to God and say, Father, I need you. Father, forgive me. Father, I want to become one with you. And how many know that he will come running? He did it with the prodigal son, and he'll do it for you. And you need to start changing your thinking and quit punishing yourself or allowing other people to punish you with their opinions about how undeserving you are. God said, I love you, and I want to be a blessing in your life. So to put in a specific position or place, I'm going to put my mind in the heavenly realm. Mark 9:35 says this, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Maybe you've always come in second place or third place, or you've come in last. Listen to me. The last will be first. God said the first will be last. Just like that family that enjoyed that amusement turnaround on that ride that they had waited hours for. Just unexpected blessing. God can turn direction in your favor. And you and I need to begin thinking that way in the morning when we get up. We've got to stop allowing our circumstances or even the way life has been up to this point to dictate what we expect in this brand new day. Because this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. I think we need to get ready for a supernatural shift. A supernatural shift that suddenly turns things around. And I believe that it starts when we change our mindset about our life. It will begin when you change the way you think about where you live, where you work, the place around your life, the people involved. You got to start thinking differently about where you are, who you are. Have you ever heard of opportunity knocking? You know, that's what a lot of people will say. Well, when opportunity knocks, you got to open the door. Well, the word opportunity means this: advantageous combination of circumstances, an appropriate or favorable time, a good chance for advancement or success. You know, as I look at my own life, I think, you know what? I believe opportunity is knocking. I don't believe my days are past. I don't believe my days are over. It matters not how much money I have or who knows me or who doesn't know me. It doesn't matter how long I've been in ministry or what I've accomplished up to this point. I believe that each day is a new opportunity that God wants to give to those who have faith in Him. And I'm saying, God, I want a new opportunity of ministry. I love the idea of street ministry. I love the idea of going into a brothel and sharing hope, praying for someone's dog. You know, you just never know where God will take that prayer for an animal, and suddenly 9 months later, here's a woman that's talking to Jesus and asks the question, do you think maybe Jesus wants me to stop smoking pot? Isn't that interesting that no one had to preach that to her, but suddenly the conviction of the Holy Spirit began to work in here. Now that's a word that we all need to remember. Repentance and conviction. That's what ushers in a change of life, a revival. You've got to believe that you're living in a time of opportunity, no matter what the conditions are around you. You and I need to get a things above mentality. Get a things above mentality. Not a things of this earth mentality, but a things above mentality. Let me tell you a couple of stories. I'm going to give you three of them. The first one is found in Genesis 21, verse 14. How many know who Hagar was in the Bible? All right. Well, a few of you. Okay. Hagar. Hagar was Abraham's first encounter with trying to make God's will come to pass. Okay? In other words, Sarah, his wife, couldn't get pregnant. So Sarah offered him her maidservant, and she got pregnant. And she birthed a son named Ishmael. Well, later on, Sarah, she gets pregnant. She births a son, the promised one. His name was Isaac. And interestingly, as they grew side by side, Sarah became very angry with Hagar because she didn't like the idea she had a connection to Abraham. And she told Abraham, get that woman and that boy out of here. I want them gone. So Abraham said, look, you're going to have to leave because an unhappy wife is an unhappy life. He understood that, and so he had to send her out and gave her a bit of provisions, and out into the wilderness they went. If you read the story, it tells us that their provisions ran out. The wilderness, hot, dusty, dirty. Hagar, just her son. She takes her son and puts him under a tree and goes a number of yards away so she doesn't have to personally watch him die. She knew that it was all over. She sits down and she cries out to God. She said, God, I don't understand what's going on in my life. I don't get it. Well, she had come to the place of a wilderness to die. Just like the Israelites were brought into the wilderness. You know what Pharaoh said? They have been boxed in by the wilderness. How many know that you may not see the way, but God always has a way? How many believe that? If you don't believe that, you need to start believing that. And not only start believing it, but start looking for it. Because faith will always see the way that God makes. Well, suddenly the Bible tells us in verse 19 that God opened her eyes, and while she was sitting under this tree and her son a number of hundred yards away, about to die, her eyes opened up, and guess what she saw? She saw a freshwater well. Now, I have to ask you the question. Do you think God drilled that well after she sat down to die? Or was she so consumed about her circumstances that she walked right by it and never saw it? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. God had to open her eyes in order to see the well. The Bible doesn't say, and then God dug a well so she could drink. The Bible says God opened her eyes so she could see the well that God had provided. Sometimes we need to get faith eyes and see with faith what God has already provided, and don't allow the wilderness to speak to you and to preach to you and to tell you that there is no way. There's always a way with God. Now, you have to ask yourself this question. What am I not seeing about this situation? What am I not seeing, God? What am I not seeing? What, is there something in this circumstance that I don't get? I have to ask myself that all the time because I find that if I'm asking, God's revealing. But if I just presume that God's checked out on my certain situation, if I believe God's checked out, then I'm going to experience what I believe. But if I believe that even in the middle of hardship, that there's something that I'm not seeing, and if I ask God to open my eyes, I might just see what He's already provided. And like Hagar, experience the provision of God. Sometimes in desperation, We have to ask this question. God, not what I'm seeing, but what have I overlooked? What have I overlooked? See, if you don't walk with faith, you'll overlook things that God laid there on purpose. Abraham goes to Mount Sinai to offer his son Isaac as an offering. It's a strange picture or type in the Bible of Jesus being offered for the propitiation of our sin. Just as Abraham is about to kill Isaac, the Lord says, "Hey, Abraham, don't. Abraham, stop. For I have provided for myself an offering." And what did Abraham do? The scripture says in verse 13, you got to get this. "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught by its horns in the thicket." You know what that tells me? Abraham walked right by the ram and never connected the dots. You say, well, the ram wasn't there until God told him to stop. You don't know that. You say, well, the well wasn't there until God said, open her eyes. You don't know that. I'm saying this. Many times the provision of God is already in our life if we'll just have the eyes of faith to look for it and say, God, I don't see it right now, but I know you're about to reveal it to me. And God, what is it that I came so far in my life and I overlooked? What have I overlooked in my past? What have I overlooked in my yesterday that was already there for provision in what I'm lacking right now today? It's a powerful truth. Jesus and his disciples were dealing with some of the tax issues of his day. And in Matthew chapter 17, did you know that God can cause opportunity to find you no matter where you are in life or what circumstance you find yourself in? See, sometimes there's things that God wants to show you that you're overlooking that's right around you. Sometimes God has provision for you that you've already walked by and you have to retrace your steps and look back and go, there was God. Sometimes God will use your routine daily life to slip in a miracle. Have you ever gotten bored with your routine? You thought, oh boy, I got to get up, I got to do this, got to get in the car, got to drive to work, got to go to my shift, got to come home, got to take care of the kids, got to do this, got to get to bed again, make the bed, open up the bed, make the bed, open up the bed. How many get tired of making the bed in the morning besides me? How come nobody else raised their hand? Oh, you don't make the bed. I get it. Say, so, well, I got tired of it, so I don't even make it. Oh, I think it was my upbringing, my mother, you know. You got to make the bed. As soon as you get out of bed, it can't cool down before you have to make it. So when I get out of the bed, I wait for Tina to get up because I usually get up earlier. And as soon as she gets up, I'm like, okay, I can't keep reading my Bible here. I got to go make the bed. But in the routines of life. So we find this story written for us in Matthew 17 in verse 27. Peter was saying, we got to pay taxes. And Jesus said, no problem. You need money to pay taxes? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go fishing. So I want you to go to the sea. Peter goes, check. Got that. Been to the sea many times. I am a fisherman. I know that's where fish are. In the sea. Check. Cast in a hook. Check. Take the fish. Check. Open its mouth. Check. Take out the gold coin. Whoa, 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 whoa. What are you talking about? Isn't it interesting? In the routine experience of Peter's life, God leads him to a miracle. You know how powerful that is? That means that you and I have got to get some expectancy about what we do every day, that God just might show up in the middle of it and show himself strong in our life. He said, there's no way a gold coin can be in a fish's mouth. Well, you're just not hanging out with Jesus. You're just assuming that routine life will always be the same. God is about to surprise some people in this hour. He's going to show himself real strong in our lives in this hour. God can cause opportunity to find you wherever you are, whatever circumstance you're in. Let me tell you a couple more stories and I'll let you go home. Do whatever you want to do. Go to Kmart, Costco, shopping, fishing. Look for the gold coin, folks. Look for the well. Look for the ram in the thicket. So I'm not even thinking about that. That's our problem. Our minds aren't set above minds. We got to have a set above mind, right? Set above mind. Proverbs 21:1 said, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like a river of water. He turns it wherever he wishes." That tells me that authorities in this world that seem to think that they control our lives are actually in the hands of God. And God can turn them whichever way he desires. And I believe God turns them toward those who are looking for the turn. I'm looking for a turn. A turn around. I'm looking for a turn. A turn in the direction that God wants to open up new opportunities for me. I'm looking for the turn where God's going to show that I could bypass some stuff otherwise I would have had to walk through. So I'm expecting today in my above mentality to be directed by God in a new dimension. So one breath of God, think about it, just one breath of God. Now, I don't know, some of you are not basketball fans, but I love the playoffs and I watch them and as much as I can. And I remember seeing this one guy by the name of Stevenson. He played for Indiana Pacers and he's trying to intimidate the greatest basketball player in the world, LeBron James. So what did he do? LeBron's sitting there like this. They're getting in a timeout or getting ready to do a foul shot. And this guy comes up against LeBron and starts blowing in his ear. Now that sounds goofy to me. And if I was LeBron, I would have smacked him right there. Boom! But that breath, at that moment, God spoke to me. I know that sounds stupid. I know that's weird. But God speaks to me in weird moments. And he said, "You see that, how he's breathing into his face? I am breathing into your face, Lou. And one breath from me will bring dead things back to life." And I said, "Wow, God, you mean I got a well of water that's available to me and I'm not seeing it? You mean there's something in my past that I've overlooked where you are going to make provision for me? Do you mean to tell me, God, that it's possible that in the routines of my life, you're going to be miraculously showing up in my life? God, this is incredible. I can't hardly wait for the rest of this day. I can't really wait for tomorrow. It's going to be fantastic." Think what Ezekiel 37 says. "Prophesy to the breath, O prophet. Breathe upon these bones." One breath of God changed the landscape of death, decay, denial into life, vibrancy, and a mighty force. It's incredible what one breath from God will do. That's why I love that old song, breathe on me, Holy Ghost fire. Breathe on me, yesterday's... Yeah, I love that part. Breathe on me, God. And I'm thinking, Lord, you are breathing on whoever wants to position themselves close enough to be impacted. Close enough to be impacted. Are you close enough to be impacted? Are you close enough? Are you getting close enough to Him for Him to impact your life? I need 2 volunteers. If you would, please just stand right here. 2 volunteers. Thank you. That's 1. I need 1 more. Okay, here's 1 right here. Thank you. 2 volunteers. It's not easy volunteering when I'm speaking because you have no idea what I'm asking you for. But I want to tell you a story as I close. Jacob was on his deathbed. You can just keep looking out front. Jacob was on his deathbed. They had gone into Egypt. They were saved. Joseph comes and says, "These are my 2 sons." Okay, you're going to be a son today. Manasseh and Ephraim. And I want you to bless them. So Manasseh was placed on the right hand of Jacob. Ephraim, the younger, was placed on the left hand. That was the law. That was the way the blessing was given. The eldest received the right hand blessing first, and then the blessing to the younger. So Jacob, dim in his eyes, the Bible says, walks up to the two boys and goes to pray. And if you could move in just a tad. There you go. Okay. Goes to pray and does this. Oh God, I worship you and I bless thee. And suddenly, his right hand's on the younger. And his left hand is on the older. So while he does it, Joseph says, no, no, my father. No, this is the younger. You switched hands. And Jacob said, oh, God of heaven and creator of all things. He said, what I've done, I've done. And he blessed Ephraim as the firstborn blessing over the eldest Manasseh. God switched hands. Now let me share this with you. Thank you. Let me share this with you. You may be here today feeling like you don't deserve the blessing of God. You may feel you're here today and you've been disadvantaged because you've come from a dysfunctional life, a dysfunctional home. Maybe because you have failed God miserably time and time again. And you think there's no way that God will bless me. But let me tell you something. God is about to switch hands and bless you. The unexpected blessing is coming into your life. I want to speak that over church on the North Coast today. I want to speak that over all the churches in this region. That God is switching hands. And the blessing of God is coming upon this region in an unprecedented way. The devil, like Pharaoh, has said, they have been hemmed in by the wilderness. I say this, he doesn't know our God. Our God is about to switch hands. Our God is about to open our eyes. Our God is about to give us a mindset that is far and above all that we could think or ask. Here's one more. Moses said in them popular versions, God, if there were grocery stores on every corner here, we couldn't feed all these people meat. Because they cried out for meat. And in Numbers 11:31, God said, no problem, I'll just let the wind blow. And it brought quail in from the sea and fluttered around them and landed on the camp. And Moses thought it was impossible, but God, with one breath, brought a flock, probably of millions, that weren't even heading in their direction to show up in their camp. And here's the beauty about it. They didn't even have to catch them. They didn't have to hunt them. They didn't have to trap them. They fluttered on the ground. They just picked them up and received them. That's the kind of blessing that God wants to give you and your family. God can give you and me opportunity to find blessing no matter where you are presently. You might be in a brothel. You might be in a jail. You might be on the outside looking in. You might be in depression this morning. You might be in a place in your family and your marriage where you feel like there's no hope for your future. How many know that God can find you where you are and send you what you have need of? Do you believe that? I believe that. God can bring blessings into our life. He can place us into positions we didn't earn, qualify us no matter what we've done in the natural. I talked to a young mother yesterday, a single mom who's looking for a new job that pays more. And I said, you know what? God can do that. God can breathe on that employer, and as soon as you walk in the office, say, that's the person for us. I'm going to believe that for her. I'm going to believe that for you. You got to start believing that about yourself, because God honors faithfulness. Let me tell you something. I'm looking at some of the most faithful people I have ever met this morning. That's right. You. You. Oh yeah, all of you. Faithful. You know how they say, through thick and thin, good times, hard times, as Natalie was saying, in 10 years, you're going to have lows and you're going to have highs. But you know what? Lows and highs come, but we just keep on keeping on. And believing that God be for you, who could be against you? Let me tell you this, God rewards faithfulness. And He's going to bring unusual blessing into your life. Last statement, and I'm going to close with this. Here's a word that God gave me. Tell the church, accelerated blessing is on its way. Accelerated blessing. So I had to go to Newton's second law to understand accelerated blessing. Here's what it means. An object's acceleration, as described by Newton's second law, is due to the net force acting on the object. I don't have anything to do with it. It's the force that's acting upon my life that is going to cause me to accelerate beyond anything I could do myself. God is acting upon your life right now, and you need to get ready for the shift. So why don't you begin positioning yourself today for unexpected, unprecedented favor. A call from China should be expected. A call from Indonesia. A call from Nigeria. A call from your employer. A call from a estranged family member. A call from the doctor that said, we took the test but we can't find anything. We ought to begin expecting that if God be for us, who can be against us? Because He's a good God, and He's a good God all the time. So lift up your eyes, church. Stop allowing the devil to depress you with the circumstances you're presently in. This too shall pass, because God has a plan for your life. No person, place, or thing could ever prevent you and me from experiencing our destiny. Would you pray with me? Lord, I just want to encourage the people today. I want to encourage them from where they are and the fight that they're in, the struggle that they're in. And I don't believe it's an error, a mistake, a miscalculation to be able to share with men on a midweek service how to fight, how to win. We're not cashing in. We're not throwing in the towel. We're not walking away, God. We are going to stand there for, having done all to stand, we're going to stand some more. We're going to believe for the victory. Now, Lord, would you speak this to the hearts of your church and bless them? With our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, let me ask this question before we go today. If you were to die today, do you know that you'd go to heaven, hell, or you're not really sure? You're confused about eternity. At some moments, you think it's just into oblivion. Other times you're thinking, but what happens if I come back as a cow? Other times you're wondering, is there really a hell? Let me tell you something. The Bible says these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life, that you put your faith and trust in Christ. Today, if you want Jesus Christ as your Savior, a God that can make a way when you can't see the way, when you don't know the way, when you don't know what to do, He'll show up because He's faithful. If you want that kind of God that can bring you into heaven and give you purpose in this life, then this is your moment. You say, Pastor, I need that prayer. I want to experience God's love. I've never done it before. I want to experience it. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Absolutely, I will. On the count of three, if you want that prayer, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up high enough for me to see it. That's all I'm asking you to do. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, throw it up high enough for me to see it. Thank you, young lady. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. Thank you as well, sir. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you over there, over there, and over there. Anyone else? Along with these six or seven, you say, Pastor, I need that prayer, and I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today because I believe that God has a plan for my future. If you didn't raise your hand, this will be my last time to ask if you want that prayer. Would you do it right now before we pray? All over this room, all over this room, all over this room, all over this room, all over this room. Thank you so much. Church, would you please stand? Altar ministers, would you please come? Now, if you prayed or do you want that prayer and you've asked God to hear your cry this morning, all we want to do is pray with you. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to do anything else. We're not asking you to join our church or be a part of anything other than the kingdom of God. That's all we're going to do. And we just want to introduce you to a loving Savior. That's really our desire. So before you go that way, would you mind, as we dismiss, come for prayer. Let us believe God with you, okay? So we'll give you just about a 10-second head start. You want to have that prayer, you raise your hand. Would you come this way now before I dismiss everybody and you got to kind of fight the crowd? Come on, let's encourage them today. Come on, if you need that prayer, would you come right now? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God. Yes, you are, Jesus. Hallelujah. Church, I want you to know that Thursday night, I will be preaching a powerful message. I preached last Thursday, the paint off the walls. I am serious. We had to repaint since you've been here last night. I'm telling you, I preached on contented or contending. If you didn't hear it, you get online and listen to it. It'll change your life. It certainly changed mine. And I'll be back Thursday night to deliver another powerful prophetic word for the body of Christ. But on the interim, live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you next time right here at Church on the North Coast or on the North Side.